Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We have hidden from God. We have shame that comes when we're quiet and see where we are and what we've done and how our life is functioning dangerously. And then finally, we blame others. It's the city, it's the job. I don't have a good enough mind. It's my health, it's my friends. Put all of this together and we've got the reason for the dysfunctional family today. It's called the curse.
The truth is, there's only one blueprint for building a healthy home. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Building a Functional Family, and gives you powerful insight into the biblical building blocks for a healthy home. You won't want to miss it, so stay with us on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The 10 Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you the 10 Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Building a Functional Family.
Father, we seek to understand anew where we came from, who we are, why we are here, and where we are going. These basic questions of life, Lord, as we look at family and parenting, give us insight into Thy truth. Give us insight into our own personalities, our own lifestyles. And Lord, may we not think of someone else, a wife or husband or son or daughter or father or mother or grandparents, but may we look in the mirror and may Thy Word be that mirror in which You come with the power that only You have to change some of us from whatever would characterize our personality and our lives so that we too might become forgiven and cleansed and healed and become a prince or princess for You. You speak, let me get out of the way so that Thy Word may be heard and put in practice into our lives. Well, this is our prayer in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. How do we learn? By repetition, line upon line, precept upon precept. You repeat it to us often enough, we recite it often enough, we go over it enough and enough and enough, and we say, as far as our intellect is concerned, I understand, I know that. I have comprehended it. I have learned. But the other side of the coin is we learn intellectually, line upon line, precept upon precept, but we have a hard time learning experientially. Because we say so many times, I will never do that again. And a month, 6 months, year, sometimes shorter than that, there we are, right back again. I will never say that again. And there we are, day, month, week, year, right back there again. We learn line upon line, precept upon precept, but experientially, we have a tough time learning. In our culture today, there is a mantra that's repeated over and over and over again, and most of us have bought into this line upon line, precept upon precept that we hear on every shore of our planet, especially in the Western culture. You know what it is? It's this. If you are cared for from the cradle to the grave, Medicare, Medicaid, house, food, clothing, all the things that make a physical life, if you have that, and then you have the ability to receive an education according to your capacity, and you have that, and then you have all the pleasure things, all the hedonistic things of travel, of trips, of recreation, and you have that, those three things. I know many, many individuals who have all of that, and their lives and their families function dangerously. I know many, many individuals who have none of that, and their lives function dangerously. I stated last week, before almost 16,000 people who came to worship in our weekend services, this fact: the dysfunctional family is the number one problem in America. And you know what? I get letters about everything, calls about everything, emails about everything, but I didn't get a one who said, that's not true. I think it's beyond debate. The dysfunctional family is the number one problem in America. We discover the word dysfunctional means not functioning. Oh no, it means functioning dangerously. Now we have to ask the problem, how did this happen? What's the basic core thing? And I have tried to use all kind of verbiage and see how we ended up like this, with this dysfunctional family. And I said, well, a dysfunctional family has a dysfunctional daughter, and a dysfunctional family has a dysfunctional son, and the dysfunctional son marries a dysfunctional daughter, and they have children who are dysfunctional. That's how it happens. That's the diagnosis. What's the problem? And I thought about trying to express the problem as simply and succinctly as I possibly could. And I kept narrowing it down and narrowing it down until finally it was ever so obvious. The problem is one thing. The curse. The curse. You say, what is that? It is simply this. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, in that pristine garden, they were created in the image of God, and they so fellowshiped with Almighty God that God supplied all that Adam needed to live his life in his image, and God supplied all that Eve needed to live her life in his image. And Adam and Eve and God had a triangle there, and there was harmony and rhythm and fulfillment because God met all the needs of that first family. It was magnificent. They had dominion. Their marriage clicked, their lives clicked, their vocation clicked. They had it all together. But something happened. The evil one came with the serpent, and he offered a proposition. He said, Do you want to be like God? Do you want to be like God? And suddenly I know it's fruit, but we'll call it the pre-apple garden. The two inhabitants made a very serious mistake. We call it the fall, okay? The fall. And they decided to trade dependence on God for control. They thought the ability to control their own lives, their own destiny, to meet their own needs, to make their own choices, was better than being dependent upon Almighty God to meet all their needs and to lead them and guide them in His way and in His will. So they moved from dependence on God to control their own lives. The curse began. Now, how did the curse play out itself? Right there in the beginning, it played out itself exactly the way it plays out today. First of all, every relationship was changed. Every relationship was changed. Their relationship to God, they wanted to hide. They were hiding. God says, Adam, where are you? I don't see you. I'm not fellowshipping with you. Where are you? He said, I'm hiding. You're hiding? When we decide to move from being dependent upon God to making our own decisions and calling our own shots in our life and doing our own thing, the first thing that happens in our relationship to God, we want to hide. Now, I've heard a zillion reasons why people do not read the Bible every day and pray. I've heard 10 zillion reasons why people do not go to church. I don't like organized religion, therefore I like disorganized religion. I don't like the choir. I don't like this. I don't like that. It's too big. It's too small. It's wrong. You can't tell me anything I haven't already heard about why we're not faithful in God's house. But I am going to tell you this morning categorically, dogmatically, the reason many of us are not faithful in God's house is because we have decided to move from being dependent upon Him to control our own lives and make our own choices. Therefore, we must hide. We don't want to be close to God, to deal with God, to know God. We hide, just like Adam and Eve. The first thing that changes when we move from being dependent to controlling our own lives is we hide from God, our relationship with God. The next thing that changes is our relationship to ourselves. Old number one, you know what we feel about ourselves? Shame. That's the reason we got to have the music going. That's the reason we've got to be watching TV. That's the reason we've got to be going on a trip. That's the reason we've got to be building something. We've got to be doing something. We've got to be reading something. We've got to be writing something. We've got to be moving. Because when we get quiet, we recognize shame because we know the fact that we're controlling ourselves. There's a lot of things that get out of control and are beginning to function dangerously. So our relationship to ourselves is one of shame. Unless we keep the racket going, the activity going, the challenge going, and we have to move and go. And so many, many people say to me, I don't like being alone. Alone. I've got to be with somebody or I have to be asleep. You see, the reason so many, many times for that is that there is shame because we want to run our own lives, and we are running our own lives in rebellion against God. The next thing that changed is our relationship to others. We see it in Adam and Eve. And there's blame. We hide God. We hide. Shame. Ourselves. Blame others. God confronted Adam. He said, it's my wife. God confronted Eve. It's the serpent. And they both were trying to blame God. And this pattern has gone over and over in every individual life present here today, because we were born in sin, not the sexual acts, not the birth. We were born with a bent towards sin because we inherited this from Adam and Eve, and we have perpetuated this because we too have. I don't want to be dependent on God. I want to control my own life. And we have hidden from God. We have shame that comes when we're quiet and see where we are and what we've done and how our life is functioning dangerously. And then finally, we blame others. It's the city. It's the job. I don't have a good enough mind. It's my health. It's my friends. We have a zillion ways in which to blame others. Put all of this together, and we've got the reason for the dysfunctional family today. It's called the curse. The curse. Now, see, it played out in the family of Jacob. The curse expresses itself. We run our own lives in so many different ways. In one family, it will be a family that has a spirit of anger, of temper. My dad lost his temper. My mother was just violent. And there is abuse physically and sexually and emotionally and verbally. There's abuse. And sometimes a curse plays out itself in this particular way in a family. Sometimes it plays itself with sexual problems, with disorientation, with abnormal drives, with unfaithfulness, adultery, fornication. So many ways it expresses itself sexually. In some family, it plays it out in that way. In another situation, it'll play itself out, well, you name it, fill in the blank. Now, as we look at this patriarchal constellation, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we have from Genesis 12 through Genesis 50 a picture of a dysfunctional family. Oh, yeah. It's right there. And we have great detail about how this family functioned dangerously and the way the curse expressed itself. First of all, now it splintered off into a lot of things. You see, if there's abuse in a family, it'll express itself in so many different ways through the different children. Or if there's sexual problems in a family, it'll express it in so many ways in many different children. And sometimes there's alcoholism in a family, it'll express it away in so many different ways to the children. Or there's addiction in the family. It just goes and scatters and expresses its way, but it's all the source is the curse. Now, how did it express itself in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's family? Favoritism. Isn't that interesting? Favoritism produces adversarial ambition. It wouldn't hurt if you wrote that down. Favoritism produces adversarial ambition. When favoritism is in a family, that's always the result. See it in the family of the patriarchs. Abraham preferred Isaac over Ishmael, his two children. Isaac had preeminence. Isaac preferred Esau over Jacob, second generation. But really, it was compounded there because Rebekah preferred Jacob over Esau. Here's mama's boy, Jacob cooked, stayed around home. Here's daddy's boy, Esau was the hunter and the outdoorsman. And you read the scripture and you have Isaac talking about my son, it was Esau. You have Rebekah talking about her son, it was Jacob. So you have favoritism in the family. And we've already looked at the results of that. Jake conned his brother out of his inheritance, the double portion the older son should have gotten. Remember, Esau was the older son because he was a twin, an older son of about probably 2 minutes, bang. And then along with his mother, he fleeced and conned and lied to his daddy, Isaac. and he got his covenant birthright. So we see already how that played itself out in our study last week. Well, you say, surely Jacob, who had all of this problem, in fact, Esau put a contract out on his brother, said, I will kill him as soon as daddy dies. You would think, surely Jacob would break this and he would see the danger and the deadliness of favoritism. But guess what? Jacob had Joseph, through the first 11 children that were born in his family, Joseph was by far his favorite, and he made no bones about it. You see, the curse is there in the family. You say, well, that's an abnormal thing. No, I just look at my own family, just part of my own family. You say, well, here's the curse. What's the problem with the curse? Well, that's just the way my family was. That's just the way your family is. That's just the way we are. What is the big deal about the curse anyway? We all have these propensities. We all have these tendencies. Is it nature? Is it nurture? You know, what's the diagnosis? We see it's the curse, but what is the problem with it? Let me tell you something. It gets compounded when it's passed from generation to generation to generation. And here is the problem with it. Take your Bibles, open them to Exodus chapter number 34, verse 6 following. This is the problem with the curse. This is the vision Moses had of God. Exodus 34, beginning with verse 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of Moses and proclaimed. And boy, I love all this about God. You'll love this. Listen. The Lord God is compassionate. Aren't we thrilled God is compassionate? What if we had another kind of God? God is gracious. Oh, that's great. God is slow to anger. That's magnificent. And abounding in loving kindness and truth. Boy, that's God.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Psalm 43. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Decades ago, some of those popular movies were musicals. During those films, in the middle of any scene, someone would just explode into song. But life is different. Not everyone sings. In fact, many people have lost their song altogether. During the Babylonian exile, the Israelites lost their song. We read in Psalm 137, they hung their harps on the willows and explained they could not possibly sing God's song in the present circumstances. But as Christians, we don't depend on our circumstances for our musical inspiration. The longer we walk with Jesus Christ, the more we come to trust His presence, and the less we fear the circumstances. With Him every day, every hour, every moment is rich with singing. So if you've lost your song, try focusing on Christ instead of your present problems. And then start warming up your voice, because you have a song to sing and a life to live.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling, so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening today to The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear the conclusion of Dr. Young's message and find out the most important ingredient for a healthy and functional family.